The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the strangely quiet heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
Where did they all go?
Yes. Well, Sam's black and tan operations have silenced the local cells of El Cicada.
You're so funny. This is Sharon Gilbert, of course, coming from our humble bunker in central Illinois. And we greet you on this Sunday, the 26th of June
that
of 2011.
That is correct. Mere hours, it'll be tomorrow morning our time, but mere hours before that asteroid, recently discovered asteroid, I mean within the last few days, makes a very close pass of planet Earth. It's a tour bus sized asteroid, they say.
That's coming within less than 8,000 miles mm-hmm. away from, you know, so at what point does an object coming that close toward us, just sort of grazing our atmosphere, at what point are they pulled into our gravitational field?
Don't know. This is 2011 MB.
I guess we'll find out. Oh, I guess 8,000 was too close.
Uh-huh. But, I've seen it described in various places as tour bus sized or RV sized. Maybe it is a cosmic tour bus. Look at them Earthlings down there.
It's the Starship Titanic.
Nod to Douglas Adams, sadly. That's on track for tomorrow morning during the morning rush. So, yeah, hopefully it just swings by and swings
on.
I pray that
we have nothing to talk about next Sunday with regard to that.
Meanwhile, the big news this Sunday, speculation that Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is in critical condition in a hospital
in
Cuba.
Well, we know that he is in critical condition. That we do know.
Well, the rumor is that he might be dead. Yeah. He went in earlier in June, about the 10th, for what was described as surgery on a pelvic abscess. But some in the intelligence community are saying that this was actually not colon cancer, but the other type that affects men now. Prostate cancer. Thank you. Don't know. There was an interesting comment made by the Minister of Foreign Affairs for Venezuela, who said that his fight for life is a fight for the health of the fatherland, or that kind of thing. So the indications are that he's in pretty serious critical condition right now.
Well, you know this, and I'm sure that many of our listeners are aware of this as well. Venezuela is rife with natural resources.
Sure.
Ones that the Western communities would love to own, so mm-hmm. to speak. And when Hugo Chavez came in there, he nationalized many of the major oil wells and other big business banks and essentially stole the Western money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the West wants it back. In fact, there's an old Aaron Russo YouTube video that is up. Aaron Russo directed Trading
Change?
Places.
Oh, right. Okay.
And another movie, and I can't recall what it was, well-known director who was, he says, contacted by David Rockefeller, and Rockefeller revealed to him almost a year before the fact that some event, and I put that in air quotes, was going to take place that would totally change everything here in the United States.
Hmm.
It would precipitate an advance into Afghanistan, Iraq, and it would also precipitate taking out Venezuela.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But anyway, that is the rumor that Hugo Chavez has already died. And I've been following some tweets from Cuba using Google Translation, which I got to tell you is difficult to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I'd almost rather just take the time to learn Spanish.
Well, we'll keep our eyes on this because this is obviously would have really big implications for the entire Western Hemisphere. I mean, North and South America, obviously relations with South America, as far as the United States is concerned, can't get around the relationship with Hugo Chavez.
Well, even as far as the drug, you know, highway is concerned, isn't Chavez the one who's funding the FARC rebels
in Colombia? That's the accusation.
That's the claim, yeah.
And there have been some border skirmishes between Venezuela and Colombia in recent years. So,
and yeah. there are claims. Now, again, I'm putting my hat on for this one. There are claims that some in the Western powers that be circle have bought up large tracts of land, and some of these we can actually document for you. Sun Myung-moon
in Paraguay
and the Bush family have both bought up large tracts of land in southern South America for the day that it hits the fan, so to speak. And in Sun Myung-moon's case, if you haven't listened to PID for many, many years, then you may not have heard us discuss this. He has bought land that is sitting over the biggest aquifer, if not in the world, certainly in South America.
Guarani, the Guarani aquifer. And the Bush family has similar holdings, or holdings that are near the...
And I think the Bush family has some major farmland as well.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to survive, you have to have food and water. And toilet paper.
You know, and that's an interesting thing. We've not done any research on this, but there's a story that is kind of bubbling under that I've not really seen much on in the major media anyway. But there are a lot of Western investment banks and hedge funds that are investing money in African farmland now. One of the stories that popped up within the last couple of weeks had to do with a major U.S. university. And because I don't have the article in front of me, I'm not going to throw a name out there and be wrong about this, that was objecting to its investment fund. It's being placed through this hedge fund and investing in African land because the people who live there are kind of being pushed off these lands by these investment groups that are buying up this land and then turning it over to corporations to farm and make more productive.
Let's see. This is a story from it's at The Guardian, and it's from June 8th of 2011. Harvard and other major American universities are working through British hedge funds and European financial speculators to buy or lease vast areas of African farmland in deals, some of which may force many thousands of people off their land.
That's the story that I was thinking of, and I thought it was Harvard, but I didn't want to say so unless we had the article in front of us. That is something I touched on in the presentation that I gave in Canton, Ohio, because investors are being told, you know, that, and using an old quote from Mark Twain, invest in land, they're not making any more of it, you know, which is true. Many of the nations
invest in water, they're not making any more of it.
Right. Many nations in the Southern Hemisphere don't have very strong local laws regarding foreign ownership of land. Of course, here in the U.S., we could argue that we could, you know, we could use with some stronger, legal safeguards about foreign ownership of our corporations, which are acting like political entities unto themselves.
Well, they claim they are persons.
In
fact, have you noticed that the language of some of the bills coming out now with reference to the rights of persons say natural person?
Indistinct from corporate person, right? Because you're in the eyes of the law, a corporation is treated like a person. Which is bizarre when you think about it. It makes no sense.
Yeah, well, animals are sometimes, you know, that's what Sam says. Anyway, he's not even in here. He's dissed us today.
Yeah, exactly. So you guys are going to listen to my time, you know, restrictions. I'm just going to stay out of the room. So there's that. I think the idea that these corporate persons act like entities unto themselves, not subject to the laws of the land, you just look at the actions of the multinational oil corporations and other large companies, corporations connected to the military, industrial, petro, pharmaceutical, banking
The powers complex, that be.
The powers that be. And they certainly seem to act that way. Why else has Muammar Gaddafi gone from being the enemy? You remember during the days of, it was about 25 years ago when Back to the Future was released.
It was the Libyans!
Yeah, Doc Brown's nemesis, the Libyans! Because that was about the time that we were blaming Gaddafi for terrorist acts, for which he may well be responsible. Not the Lockerbie TWA flight bombing, however.
He went from being terrorist head,
right,
to being
our buddy,
an ally, right, in the war on terror.
He's turned because over he all his exactly. weapons on mass destruction.
And now he's got a target on his back.
Yes, and an American military, this is one of our admirals, has confirmed now that we are trying to whack Muammar Gaddafi, the top U.S. admiral involved in the Libyan war, admitted to a U.S. congressman that NATO forces are trying to assassinate Libyan leader Muammar al-Gaddafi. Now, Gaddafi is not somebody I'd want to have over to the house for dinner. We're not saying he's a good guy. I think, though, as Americans, we need to step back and say, and just ask this question, should the president of the United States unilaterally have the power? And notice that we're saying, oh, no, this is NATO that's doing this. We're not doing this. But the truth is, without United States support for this, NATO wouldn't be doing it. That's just a fact. Does the president of the United States, should the president of the United States have the power to unilaterally order the assassination of a foreign head of state for any reason?
No. Imagine if NATO decided that they were going to do the very same thing here. Imagine if Europe decided that the head of the United States wasn't playing ball and therefore co-opted enough of us who are angry at the government anyway to make a stand in Washington and then said, we're going to side with the rebels.
Exactly. These people are being oppressed by their government, and so we need to go in there and help them overturn an unjust and illegitimate government.
And then imagine if you were trying to take pictures of it with your camera and then someone and got arrested, and then someone else came in and said, I'll videotape your arrest so I can post that to the internet. Mm-hmm. And you were arrested for videotaping the guy who had taken the picture. This is not fiction.
No. You know, and while this sounds like this might be a plausible scenario, if you were doing this, say, inside some sensitive, secret congressional hearing or something.
Yeah, if I were to burst into some really secretive, let's say, over at the Defense Department, if I were to just, go in there and start taking photos of secret operations, well, I could understand why someone like that would be asked to leave.
Mm-hmm. Or even a jury trial inside a closed courtroom where, for whatever reason, the judge has declared that the courtroom was to be closed. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
it's only been
in
recent years that they've allowed cameras in courtrooms. But imagine, just hypothetically, if you were there to cover a meeting of the Washington, D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. An open meeting of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission.
Open meeting. Open to the public meeting.
Yes. Would you think you'd be able to take a picture at that meeting as a reporter?
Well, you'd think so.
You would think so. And you would wind up being frog marched out of the courtroom, out of the meeting hall in handcuffs.
Frog marched or perp marched?
Well, either way, same deal.
Frog. Did you say frog?
Frog.
He said fraud.
Frog marched, yes.
Either way, being marched out of there in handcuffs was wrong.
Yeah, this literally happened at a recent meeting of the D.C.
Taxi Cab
Commission.
Could you turn up my head?
I could just touch there.
Just a tiny bit. Oh, that's so much better. Thank you.
And it's bizarre. During my radio career, covered a number of meetings. You wouldn't think that the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission would be a meeting of any great importance, but apparently the acting chair of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission has taken it upon herself to forbid reporters to take pictures, record audio, unless they put their little microphone, like, 10 to 15 yards away from the people who are speaking, which means you get lousy audio for news purposes.
It's open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
That means the public has a right to know what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, who does she think she is?
But it's just the latest in a line in a recent string of stories in which people in public places are taking pictures. Usually, now this has more recently been happening when the public takes pictures of police arresting somebody or involved in some sort of public protest, and a police officer will take offense to having his or her picture taken or video of the incident being recorded.
I think to a certain degree I can understand that, but, madam or Mr. Officer, if you are doing nothing wrong, why would you object?
Yeah. So this is the society in which we live. And sadly, I think the media has not been paying as much attention to this as it should, because the media is, while they should be championing free and open government, I mean, here in the United States especially, we like to pride ourselves on being the freest nation on earth. But these examples, I mean, in something as relatively benign as the DC Taxi Cab Commission, which we don't know a lot about, but the implications for some of the articles we've read are that there's some funny things going on in the nation's capital regarding the regulations of cab drivers. But that aside, the DC Taxi Cab Commission, if you can't even cover that with a camera, what next?
Hey, buddy, you get out of here with that camera.
Yeah.
Coming and taking pictures of our PID radio show.
Yes.
Sam, put that camera down.
That's right. It is a strange, strange world. And getting stranger, perhaps, in the month of July, especially if you have a clock that is plugged into an electrical outlet, or if, say, you have one of those stoves that has like a little mechanical clock.
Like ours that decided, well, the computer in me has just...
Yeah.
Went balooey, and you had to actually shut it off with the breaker.
Yeah, apparently the United States agency responsible for overseeing our national power grid is going to experiment on us during the month of July. Sometime in mid-July, although this could change, the power grid, which is right now set to oscillate at 60 hertz, will be allowed to kind of float freely. And that can affect a number of devices that tell time by the oscillation of the electric power coming out of the outlet.
Mm-hmm.
60 hertz is where the U.S. power grid is tuned. In other nations are set differently. If you've got a programmable timer in your coffee maker, that could be disastrous for us. The time. The little clock.
I don't even
there,
want to think about that.
It's horrible to think about, actually. The timer, the clock, which is, synchronized, but it is calibrated by the oscillation of the current that it draws, will be thrown off.
As opposed to mechanical gears that are ticking.
Yes, but even those, if those gears are driven by power, that's...
I'm talking about a non-electric clock.
A non-electric clock.
Like our watches and things like that.
Right, like a wind-up clock. So, but, I mean, this
but an electric clock depends upon the hertz coming in.
Right. Now, this wouldn't affect the time inside a computer.
Well, theoretically, it would not. But your computer... You may be, if you know more about electricity, which is almost everyone,
mm-hmm, sure,
than I do. All I know is that the computers that we had, the Macs, they were very sensitive. That iMac that I had, that titanium,
right,
MacBook, uh-huh, it was so sensitive to the hertz that was going in. In fact, I think it was 67. It was a really weird little calibration for the charger.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got a non-Apple charger,
it didn't
work correctly because it wasn't calibrated to the exact amperage or something. You know, I'm really showing my ignorance here.
This
all
really
I know is that...
Hurts to think about it.
What? time.
Yes, keeps on slipping.
But you know what? It's happening in mid-July when... probably this isn't in any way linked to this, but July 15th is the day that we stop, supposedly, that you can no longer buy and sell gold and silver here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. there's some discussion as to whether that's what the regulation means, but at least the people at Forex, as we talked about last week, believe mm-hmm. that that's the case.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So anyway, yeah, the head of electric reliability for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission says, and he's quoted here in an article by AP, is anyone using the grid to keep track of time, the electrical grid? Let's see if anyone complains if we eliminate it, meaning the restriction of the oscillation of our electric power at 60 hertz. The head of the Time Service Department at the U.S. Naval Observatory says, however, a lot of people are going to have things break and they're not going to know why. The interesting point about all of this is that the U.S. government didn't actually come out and say, hey, would you mind if we started experimenting with this with your electric grid? No, the story came out because Associated Press released this as an exclusive investigative news report. They're going to experiment on us, and the government didn't bother to tell us anything.
Well, let me tell you this. There is research going back to at least 2005 that shows that in rats, at least, that exposure to 60 hertz magnetic fields resulted in DNA damage.
Oh, really?
Now, we've been at 60 hertz for as long as I've been alive.
Uh-huh. Another interesting thing is that research has shown that fluorescent lighting, like the kind in every office in America, also has
It causes cancer.
A genotoxic effect,
mm-hmm. and
which is exacerbated by caffeine.
Exactly. Yeah. If you drink coffee while you're sitting under the fluorescent lights, or if you make coffee in your kitchen and stand there and drink it.
Yeah.
Why, you're in trouble. We really need to replace those lights in the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and that's why I took the outside sales job. Now I'm just out there in the sunshine instead of under the fluorescent lights.
I know, and the good thing is that while I'm working in the kitchen now, the microwave lights that will be coming through with the various, that idea of variations in just let it flow the way it wants to go. But you made, and you may have said this while I was looking up, trying to find this exposure story, is that it may be because of the wind farms.
Yeah, it's more difficult to regulate the oscillation of power coming from wind farms and other renewable resources like solar cells. So that would appear to be the reason for this experiment. The North American Electric Reliability Corporation, which runs the nation's transmission lines, the grid, said that East Coast clocks, as a result of this experiment, may run as much as 20 minutes fast over a year. West Coast clocks only likely to be off by about 8 minutes. So, I mean, you know, 20 minutes over the course of a year doesn't sound like a whole lot. We just don't know what the, what other changes there might be. But again, the fact that this is coming out as an AP exclusive rather than as a government release, like, hey, we're just giving you a heads up warning that in a couple of weeks your clocks might start running fast or slow. But this is clearly in preparation for future integration of more renewable sources like wind and solar power.
Boy, if I wanted to put on my hat, I could really come up with all sorts of speculation as to this. One of them is it possible that a test of this was being done in Sicily? Over the last few weeks, people in Sicily, and again, this is anecdotal evidence, mm-hmm. People in Sicily have been reporting that their clocks are mysteriously jumping around by about 15 minutes.
That's really
just sort of on their own. They never really quite know where their clock is going to be. Now, I have no idea. So why pick Sicily?
Yeah, and because, you know, that's one of the great lessons in life. You never go up against the Sicilian where time is on the line. Inconceivable.
Iocane. I'd know it anywhere.
Bet my life on it.
Well, again, having my hat firmly in place, I would ask myself, is there another reason, perhaps, that this is being pre-broadcast just in case something happens with the Earth's magnetic field during some of these solar... Hi, Sam.
He just decided to show up. No, 5-minute warning.
some of these coronal mass ejections that have been taking place from the sun lately. I mean, I don't know if that's going to affect our power grid or not, but the power grid is aging in this country.
It is. You know, that's a good point. I don't know. And that the article from AP did not address that issue, whether keeping the power oscillating at a consistent 60 hertz during a period of high solar flare activity or during a coronal mass ejection is expensive or potentially dangerous. I don't know.
I don't know. And here's another question. Is there a safer amount, safer level for the hertz level in our power grid with respect to an EMP?
That's another good question. Yeah, don't know. I don't know.
These and are any squirrels involved?
Because they're the ones who cause all those rolling blackouts.
I know,
blackouts.
Secret squirrel? Huh? Yeah. Huh? Mm-hmm. Spy.
Mm-hmm. Interesting story that popped up this week at The Guardian. An analyst there at The Guardian named Barrett Brown, I believe is his name. Yes, who went through the emails that were hacked from an electronic security firm, H.B. Gary Federal. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. The columnist for Salon.com, Glenn Greenwald, found out about this. The hackers group Anonymous went into H.B. Gary's accounts, H.B. Gary Federal, which is a subsidiary of H.B. Gary, and found that H.B. Gary and other computer security firms were offering their resources to corporate clients like Bank of America to retaliate against private citizens and groups like Glenn Greenwald and WikiLeaks. So this hackers group, Anonymous, went in, stole these emails, and this fellow for The Guardian, Barrett Brown, has been going through this to find out what all is in here. And he found that there is a program out there called ROMOS/COIN, which stands for counterintelligence, which is a an intelligence, well, it's a data mining program and personal information storage and analysis program being used by the United States government, targeting, allegedly, the Arab world, going after thousands of social networking sites, going after social networking sites to monitor habits, conversations, and activity of millions and millions of computer users at once. According to what he can glean from these emails, there is a new program that the U.S. government is going to be soliciting bids for, if it hasn't done so already, called Odyssey. And some of the features of this program, Odyssey, Brown claims that some of the features that this program will contain is the use of mobile phone software in applications to track the movements and personal interactions of millions of people, which isn't a surprise. I mean, we found out recently that the iPhone stores geographic data in ways that was shocking to a lot of people.
Well, it does. And, of course, the software is in there now to keep you from videotaping in large groups as if you're at a concert, or perhaps if you're at an event where the police are arresting someone.
Exactly. And that's why I bring this up. That was something that was disclosed recently, that to prevent, they claim, copyright infringement from people holding up an iPhone and recording a band at a concert.
Yeah, like that makes any sense.
Yeah. The iPhone is supposed to sense when you're in amongst a large group of people and then shut off the video recording and audio recording.
Well, I could do the same thing at an art gallery. I could, you know, forge a famous artwork by taking a photograph of it and taking it home and copying it.
Yeah, it really is silly. But you made an excellent point earlier, which you just mentioned again, that this could be the way that the powers that be, the elites, keep people from recording what the police or what soldiers are doing in a mass demonstration.
Now, understand, we completely, completely support the men and women who serve as police officers, the guardians of our nation.
We have family members.
We do. We love the police departments. However, they are sometimes being asked to do things that are contrary to the law. And even though we love those men and women who are in uniform, if you are doing something contrary to the law, we people we, the United States of America people, we have a right to know about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. According to the Constitution, we do.
Yes. Well, assuming that Constitution is still valid. Time magazine doesn't seem to think so.
Yeah. Well, obviously, not, neither does our government.
Time. We're back to time again.
One other thing that Barrack Brown pointed out in his analysis of those emails from H.B. Gary, Apple and Google were active team partners in the existing program, Romos/Coin, and AT&T may have been as well. So,
well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And this does not, this didn't start with this administration. It's been going on for decades.
Yep, yep, yep.
They've been building to this.
Yeah. And interestingly, the disgraced former CEO of H.B. Gary Federal, which again was the company that was offering its services to discredit Glenn Greenwald and others that were distasteful to corporate accounts, Aaron Barr asked this this team's partner at Apple for a contact at Pixar Disney. I'm wondering, how would Pixar play into a program to monitor the personal activity and online activity and the personal networking of millions of computer users?
Well, it may
users?
Have something to do with software that they may have written to help recognize face
that could
and,
be.
And activities.
And it may also be asking for some help to develop really fun and exciting online games, which are also mentioned in these emails.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So anyway, just an interesting thing there. One other thing I wanted to mention before we wrap up for this week.
Oh, I have a couple of other things.
Okay. All right. Well,
keep it going.
Get to yours. But,
well, I have a question. When we're talking about, frankly, spying on each other, remember back in the day, 10 years ago or so, when Colin Powell used satellite photography of Iraq in planning, and he said that Saddam Hussein is about to obtain nuclear devices or weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
And it was based on satellite photography that he had blown up and mounted, and he was showing to the United Nations, and it was very blurry.
Right.
It was very, in fact, he was asked over and over, can you explain what that is? Well, we believe it's, you know, the experts tell me that this shows, and it was so difficult to tell what it was. There's a story out today that shows the Brazilian government has confirmed that satellite photography has revealed the existence of a very small 200 people tribe living in the rainforest. And they found out through satellite photography, and they have the pictures at the linked story. And those pictures are as clear as day, as if, and I'm going to turn it around and show to you so you can see what I'm talking about. They're little mud huts.
Oh, and if that doorway is the size of just an average doorway, then they've got some pretty fine detail on that picture.
Satellite photography. Mm-hmm. These look like pictures taken by flyover planes.
Yeah.
Satellite photography.
Yeah.
This is as clear as if I took a photo of you. So if that's going on, then they're watching us all the time. We
really have
walked into a movie.
Yeah.
We've been in a movie all along.
Well, there's no question about that. During the presentation I gave in Canton, I pulled photos from Google Earth of, and we don't even have the upgraded Google Earth Pro version, which gives you even higher resolution, but just the regular Google Earth version and Google Street View version gave such
of our house.
Of our house in you know, a town of 18,000 people, not exactly a major metropolitan area. You could make out the next door neighbor's van, and you could make out the numbers on the front column of the house from the street view camera. You're right. We're living in the panopticon.
Yes, we are. We are. And here's what we want to remind you of. We talk about these things not to scare you. We are not here to frighten you. We do not want to get you, you know, so angry at what's going on that you decide you're going to rebel against the government. That's not what we are called to do as Christians. We are to see what's going on. We are to understand what the enemy is doing in the world. But ultimately, we fall back on the knowledge that our rock is Jesus Christ, and he's not moving.
That's right.
He's already won this war. All we have to do is wait for it to all play out. Our parts in it may be difficult, they may be easy. Honestly, I might be hit by a truck as I walk out the front door. I know that's a cliche, but it could happen. It does happen to people. I might, you know, fall down of a heart attack that I don't know is coming on, you know, in the next few days. I might not live past the week. And if that happens, then I've lived a wonderful life and I'll be happy to meet Jesus. But some of us may be called to go through some very, very difficult times. That's in fact, there are people, you know, in other parts of the world who are going through crucifixions, beheadings, and torture that you cannot even begin to imagine. I know I can't. So when we think about what we're dealing with here in the United States, and we start to get, you know, worried about it, put your faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'd better pick him now, because if you don't make the decision, that is your decision.
That's right. Yeah. None of the above is not one of the options.
No, it's a pass-fail.
Yeah. And speaking of the issue of faith, this was the story I wanted to get to. So this.
Oh, I'm so glad you did. Well, I'm glad I segued into that for
you. Todd Bentley, who we've talked about off and on before, we don't pay a lot of attention to him, but he is a false teacher who is leading people astray, sadly. And he just within the last few days sent out an important notice, which is posted at his website, Fresh Fire USA, which he claims that the Lord spoke to him at a meeting in Virginia Beach, Virginia, about, in his words now, contending for a greater outpouring of his presence, signs, and wonders. During the prophetic experience, quoting him again now, I saw the revival healing angel that had visited us in Lakeland, Florida. Now, of course, the Lakeland Revival, the so-called Lakeland Revival, was the series of meetings that he led down there during which miracle healings and manifestations of the Holy Spirit were claimed.
Quote, unquote, Holy
right.
Spirit.
The revival met a rather ignominious end when he began cheating on his wife, and he's now eventually married the woman that he was cheating with. This event that he claims God has challenged him to initiate will begin tomorrow, June 27th, in Williamsburg, Virginia, and run 30 days through July 26th. Nightly meetings, well, except for July 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Apparently, he's taking those days off, and he'll have a substitute there conducting those meetings. Yeah, but he is claiming that the Lord had challenged him to, or the Lord, he says, reminded him of his promise that there would be many healing pools in America, like the one found in John chapter 5. Now, the pool referenced in John 5 was the pool of Bethesda. Mm-hmm. You remember the story where Jesus saw a man lying there, asking why he was there, and this man had been there for years. Was it like 38 years or something? Some ridiculously long period of time. There was a story that believed by people in Jerusalem at the time that once a year, an angel of the Lord would stir up the waters of the pool, and the first one into the pool, after the waters were stirred, would be healed. And this man just couldn't get to the pool quickly enough. Jesus said, take up your mat and walk right now. Just pick up your mat and walk. Remember that, because these healing pools did not heal the man in John chapter
exactly.
5. Jesus healed.
Amen. Him. Amen, brother. That was not an angel who did that healing, nor was it an angel previously, assuming that healings had been taking place for the previous 38 years, enough so that this man came back year after year after year.
Mm-hmm.
Those healings came from God Almighty.
The Bible is silent on who conducted those healings, but we don't see...
never see an angel heal.
That's right. We don't see anywhere in Scripture an example of an angel conducting a healing. It is always through the power of the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ conducting the healing. Healing mm-hmm. was a major part of Jesus' ministry, but it was not a healing angel.
No, the closest you ever come is when someone is so awestruck by the appearance of an angel that they fall down as if dead. Mm-hmm. And the angel simply says, get up.
Yeah.
Don't fear me, just get up. That's not a healing. And the other thing to take away from this, if you are suffering or have a loved one who is suffering and has been so for years and years, if you have been beseeching the Lord for a healing and it's not coming, hang on. Maybe there's a reason. This mm-hmm. man with 38 years trying to be healed, why did it take that long? Because God Almighty was to be honored and lifted up by having that miracle take place through Jesus Christ, God in the flesh.
Amen. And sometimes it is God's will that the healing not take place. The mm-hmm. Apostle Paul writes that he prayed three times for the removal of a thorn in his flesh, and we assume that he meant a physical malady, and God declined to heal that. Was it because Paul didn't have enough faith? I don't think so.
No, I think he was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I can't wait to shake the man's hands someday.
Well, yeah. And so we'll keep an eye on what comes out of this Williamsburg revival that Todd Bentley is apparently trying to kickstart with his biker boots. But frankly, I don't expect it to be a working of the Lord.
Sam, are you having a tough time getting your binky on?
Yeah. He is.
Well, but
he's telling
almost,
us we're already...
we're almost done, sweetie. Yeah. I have one more story that I want to mention. I need to bring it up and bring in the tab that I've got it in. And that is, it's a very, very interesting little tale and a sad one about a woman who died at her own funeral.
That's odd.
I know. A woman has reportedly died after the shock of coming back to life at her own funeral. This woman, Mukhamet Stianov, was wrongly declared dead by doctors, but she actually died after hearing people pray for her soul in Kazan, Russia.
Oh, boy.
She was taken back to the hospital where she was declared dead, this time for good. Her husband is suing the hospital.
Yeah, I can understand why. Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be a bit disturbing.
That would be very, very shocking.
Yeah.
But we want to hear from you. You can get the news feed at PID News on Facebook. If you have mm-hmm. not yet liked our page, please do so. Because that way, I mean, it makes us feel good. But more than that, it puts the PID News feed right on your wall at Facebook. So as we post the stories, you'll be able to catch up within seconds, if not mm-hmm. minutes. And we also want to thank everybody. We put out a call to the PID radio bunch at Facebook and just said we needed a little spending cash so we could buy what we're calling our road kit. It's four mics and XLR cables mm-hmm. to take with us when we go on the road. And we're taking those to Branson. And thank you very, very much for everybody
yes, amen.
Who stepped right up and helped us out with that. You downed almost to the penny. Gave us exactly what we needed, so
yes.
Praise God.
And this will result in some wonderful interviews, we think. There'll be some video interviews that are already scheduled with some of the main speakers at the Future Congress Conference in Branson, including G. Edward Griffin, Chuck Missler, Tom Horn, Noah Hutchings, Chris Pinto. We'll have the capability to do the audio for those. Without having,
and they are going to be videotaped.
And,
so if you want to get a DVD
right.
later, you can.
And we will then have that audio available for some PID radio specials. We're talking with David Hitt, who's coordinating the media for the Future Congress, about setting up some View from the Bunker interviews. My thought is to just try to get folks together and do some roundtable sessions. We'll be there on Wednesday of that week. Wednesday, the 20th of July, the Future Congress begins officially at 3:30 in the afternoon Central Time on the 22nd. That's the Friday. Presumably, with everybody there Thursday night, we'll see if we can get people together for a roundtable on
really
Thursday,
cool.
And then see if we can do it again on Friday and Saturday night live to the web at blogtalkradio.com/PID radio. We just need to make sure we've got a good enough internet connection to do that. If not, we'll record the sessions and just upload them so that we don't have to worry about funny internet connections. But with the headset microphones that we've obtained, we can, and the mixer that we have, we can bring four people together at a time instead of the two microphones that we currently have, which are also rather large, clunky, and need to be screwed down to a tabletop.
Yeah, that's why we wanted a road kit.
Yeah.
I will be videotaping things as I can, little hallway interviews, stuff like that are very short, 1 or 2 minutes. And I will be posting those to Twitter and Facebook with hashtag Future Congress.
Yeah, so that will be something to look forward to in the next few months, next few weeks.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Goodness, it's
less than a month away.
Just
3 weeks.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. And again, thank you for your help in making this possible. And you know that Sam Doxson is just
He is going to be with us, by the way. There was a question mark about that. So Sam will be with us. The hotel says he has to stay in our room when we are out and about. So if you want to visit with Sam, you're going to have to make an appointment.
He'll be holding court.
He will be signing autographs.
Little female dachshunds there feeding him kibble treats, you know, waving
fanning
a palm.
In his dreams.
Yeah, really. Oh, well, that's all for this week. I think we've overshot the mark here.
Long ago.
Until
we've worn out our welcome.
I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content copyright Gilbert House and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon.